Well, one of the greatest breakthroughs and advances in modern time was the invention of the electric light bulb. Electrical power generation, which led to many other technological wonders in our world, was proposed as early as 1800 by an Italian physicist named Alessandro Volta. You probably heard of him before. Probably heard of volts. Stay away. But in 1879, Thomas Alva Edison produced the first commercially viable light bulb that could be mass-produced, and that would last up to about 1,200 hours of use. Contrary to popular opinion, Edison didn't actually invent the light bulb. He actually just made it commercially viable. He did lots of experiments along with many other people at that time, but he made the one that was commercially viable and would last a long time with the carbon filament. But, of course, they replaced that later years with tungsten, which would last much longer. Edison, as a person, he was an inventor, and actually he had about 3 weeks of formal schooling. As he went to school, the teachers told him that he was too distracted and he just wasn't there and he was just unteachable. So Edison just kind of proved them wrong. And over his career as an inventor, he amassed 1,096 different patents for his various inventions, starting with the phonograph. And Edison was the man who invented the wax cylinder phonograph. He invented something that was important to the society at the time for the elections. It was called an automated vote counter, is something that he invented. And then one of his other inventions was the carbon microphone. So you can hear me today because of Edison. He invented the microphone. He also established the first research laboratory, and he was a principal contributor to now what is known as the General Electric Light Company, or GE. And so these are some of the things that he accomplished in his life with those 3 weeks of formal education. Pretty good, I would say. Well, we're talking today about light. And whether it's natural light or artificial light, light is what allows us to function effectively in this world. From the first incandescent light, as Edison is displayed here, to this first light bulb, and then, of course, into fluorescence, and then our modern society, we have LCDs and LEDs and CFLs, and we have all of these different types of lights. And we've made great strides in both production of lighting and in efficiency. And nowadays, of course, the goal is low power consumption with our lights. And actually, all the lights in this room here have all been changed to low consumption lighting, efficiency lighting. And that's what's even in our room today. And we're saving lots of power today. But all in all, where would we be without lights? Guess we can turn back on now that we made our point. Well, we've been considering the topic of walk as we've studied the last few weeks. And we come to the next one in our list, in Ephesians chapter 5, and today we want to talk about walk in light. Walk in light. So if you turn to Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll read this passage, we'll start in verse number 8. Let's read this. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. When we speak of light in the scripture, we're speaking of illumination. We're speaking of the ability to be able to see, or to be able to comprehend, or to be able to understand. That's what the word light means. How often have we seen an illustration like this, or a cartoon, when someone gets a great idea, they show a light bulb, right, above the man's head. Actually, there's an animated cartoon out called Despicable Me, and every time he gets an idea, he goes, light bulb. It's kind of cute, actually, but anyways. and quite often, that's what the illustration is. You get a good idea, boom, the little light goes on, right? And we often have said that, I'm sure. But lighter is all of these things. Illumination, being able to see, comprehend, to understand. But light, in the scripture, as we're going to look at today, light represents two things in particular. Light represents truth, and light represents knowledge. These are the things that light represents to us today. Now, it's Father's Day, and I was thinking a little bit about Father's Day. As men, now men, we can hopefully all get this right, and we'll agree on some of these things. We are generally seekers of knowledge. As men, we're seekers of knowledge because as we gain knowledge, it helps us to fulfill our roles. The roles, the natural roles we feel we have in our life as protectors, as providers, and as doers for our family. So we need knowledge. So we do things on the basis of acquired knowledge. Now, when I was growing up, my dad was very diligent to make sure that we, and I'm one of five boys, I'm the oldest of five boys, my dad was very diligent to make sure that all of his boys knew how to do many practical things. Carpentry, my dad was an electrician by trade, electrical work, plumbing, mechanics, farming, gardening, electronics. My dad was very diligent to make sure that we knew how to do all of these different things in our lives. And actually, I'm quite thankful for that. And actually, a couple days ago, I got to help my dad work on a little project. He's putting some flags up on his flagpole, you know, and he needed to fix it. So I helped my dad put up some flags. And so that was really great. But he was always diligent to make sure that we knew how to do these little things. And of course, we grew up in a farm, so I mean, some of it was more out of practicality than anything, you know. You know, a farmer, jack of all trades, master of none, sort of deal. So we learned to do all of these things. And I remember one time I heard my dad saying to another man with great astonishment, he said, "You know what? Some boys graduate from high school and they don't even know how a toilet works." And that just shocked him, you know, like how could a boy graduate from high school and not even know how a toilet work? You know, the power goes out, the toilet won't work, you know. It actually will, okay? Just want to let you know that it actually will work. But that was an important part of my growing up. It's an important thing for us to have knowledge, but I think it's even more important for us to have truth. Back a few years ago, someone pointed this out to me. When the internet was becoming popular and widely used, when it first came out, it was dubbed the information highway. Do you remember that? When the internet first came out, they said, that's the information highway. And someone pointed out to me one day, they said, it's actually more accurate to call it the data highway, because not everything on there is good information, and even less of it is truth. Okay, and so we have to be cautious sometimes where we get our information. As we look at this passage in Ephesians chapter 5, it's going to make a distinction and it's going to make a comparison. And it's making a distinction and a comparison between darkness and light. And it's true that we may have all the education in the world. We may have degrees and diplomas and citations, and yet be in the dark to truth. We need to have, alongside of all of this knowledge that we gain, we need to have spiritual light to know the truth. Because some of the most intelligent people in the world can be in darkness if they resist or reject spiritual truth. I often tell people that many people live in two dimensions when we're actually created to live in three dimensions. As human beings, we're three-dimensional, just like God, because we're created in his image. And there's the physical needs and there's the emotional needs, but we also have a spiritual component in our life that we need to pay attention to be whole before God. And look what he says here as we begin this passage. In verse 8, he says, "For you were once in darkness." You were once in darkness. In the previous verses before that we looked at last time as we talked about walk in love, he illustrated some actions and habits of those who lived in darkness. And he's reminding us here that those who live and walk in light do not habitually practice the things that he mentioned in those lists. Because as we've sung this morning and as we've indicated this morning, when we come to Christ, things change. Because that becomes the reality of our salvation experience. When we come to Christ, things change. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's a reality of our salvation. And that's an indication of our salvation. When we come to Christ, things change in our lives. The old is passed away. The new comes and takes its place in our lives. In the previous chapter, in chapter 4, Paul also alluded to this. In chapter 4, verse 17 and 18, he says this, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk." Why? Because they've come to Christ. They've come to faith in Christ, in the futility of their minds, having their understanding darkened. Okay? He says they walk in darkness. They live in darkness, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. And so he's saying, in the past, we lived in darkness. But there's a point in our lives when we come to acknowledge truth. And as we come to this point in our lives, sometimes we say, I saw the light. Sometimes we sing that song, right? I saw the light. I saw the light. Or things become clear to us. We start to understand things as we come to the light. Not to say that we have an instant grasp of everything, but we do have a general understanding of the scheme of things as we come to Christ, as we come to the light. Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, he reminded them of this truth also in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he says this, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators or idolaters or adulterers or homosexuals or sodomites, thieves or covetous or drunkards or revelers or extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." That's a pretty scary sounding thing, isn't it? But then he goes on to say, "And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." I love that verse right there because, you know why I love that verse? Because I was on that list. That list that we read, I was on that list. I was there. That described me. That described my life. And then it says, "Such were some of you." Yes, I was there. That was my life. It says, but, that was me before I was washed, before I was sanctified, before I was justified, because I came to the light. Before I came to the light, that described me, that described my life. But I came to Christ. I acknowledged the truth. I came, the truth set me free. I was washed, sanctified, and justified. And I love that verse because it set me free. And then also, I'll give us some more examples of this same truth. Paul, while he was giving his testimony before King Agrippa, he told Agrippa of his conversion and his calling and what he was doing as he traveled the world with the gospel. And in Acts chapter 26, we read this as Paul's speaking to King Agrippa. He's talking about how the Lord Jesus spoke to him. Here's what Jesus said to him. Rise, stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom now I send you. And here was his purpose. To open their eyes, it says, in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. And so Paul's mission, as he was sent out by the Lord Jesus, was to turn people from darkness to light. That was his purpose. The Apostle Peter also gave us the same explanation of our salvation experience. 1 Peter chapter 2, he writes this, but you, speaking to the believer in Christ, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's where we've come to as we acknowledge truth, as we trust in Christ. So to walk in light is to live in the knowledge and truth of salvation. There are things that we need to acknowledge in our lives, each and every one of us. We acknowledge the fact that we live in darkness, that we're spiritually blind, that we are corrupted in our lives by sin. We need to acknowledge that, every one of us. And then we need to acknowledge God's existence. The Bible says that if we're to come to God, we must believe, first of all, that he is. We need to acknowledge God's existence, but also his love and his grace and his mercy. See, God withholds from us what we rightly deserve, and he gives to us what we don't deserve. We also need to receive his gift of forgiveness and salvation. It's freely given to us if we will simply receive it by faith. And then, after that happens, then we are encouraged, commanded to walk in light. Walk in the light of our new life. Light and darkness. Darkness. How many people do you know that are afraid of the dark? Quite a few, right? Some people just fear the dark. And I must admit, there are some situations where I don't like the dark either. I'd be less than honest to say that it's anything but that case. Many people hate the darkness. But you know what darkness actually is? Darkness is actually the absence of light. That's what darkness is. Darkness does not exist as its own entity, nor can it. Did you know that? Did you realize that? That darkness is not an entity within itself. Darkness is simply the absence of light. Darkness is a descriptive condition of the absence of light. That's all darkness is. And so darkness is used in Scripture to illustrate the conditions that exist where God is not present or reigning. Now, I didn't make that up. Albert Einstein actually said that, so there you go. I got pretty good support for that theory. But that's what Einstein argued with his professor in college, that there's no such thing as darkness. It's only the absence of light. Where God does not reign, sin reigns. Where God is not present, you'll find only darkness. And so we're encouraged here to walk in light. And light does certain things for our lives. If we're encouraged to walk in light, what will it do for us? Well, light, first of all, always reveals the truth. Light always reveals what is true. Perhaps you've heard people say different times, it might be an investigation, a court case or something, and somebody might make the statement, well, here's what we thought, but then it came to light that this was the case. And quite often that expression is used. And it came to light. It came to our attention. It came to our understanding. Because light always reveals what the truth always is. And then light always exposes the darkness. That's what light does. It exposes the darkness. And if we came in here at night, you know, we would kind of wander through this building and try not to trip over anything and get hurt. But even if we just had a little match or a pen light, that light would dispel enough darkness so that we could see where we were going. And that's what light does. It exposes and expels the darkness. As we look at our text here, we can read a few more verses. Verse 11 says this, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, it says, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret or under the cover of darkness. But all things that are exposed are made manifest, made plain, made clear, it says, by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. At camp and youth activities, we used to play this large game called Mission Impossible. Anybody here remember playing Mission Impossible? Well, this game, Mission... Oh, Ridge, good. And Mission Impossible. Now, the goal of Mission Impossible game was to infiltrate enemy territory, to capture the treasure, and then make it safely back to your home base. That was sort of the idea of the game, Mission Impossible. Now, this game was done under the cover of darkness. So this was a night game that you would play under the cover of darkness. But the enemy base where the treasure was protected by sentries. And also, it was protected by a tower with huge spotlights and searchlights. And so what would happen is, in order not to get caught, you had to evade both the guards, the sentries, and these lights. You were trying to sneak in there, and they'd be shining the lights around, you know, trying to catch people and whatnot, and take them to prison and all that kind of stuff that went along with the game. But if you were sneaking along, and all of a sudden the light came on you, you would be exposed, and they could come and get you and arrest you. And so the light would make plain or make clear. It would manifest. It would expose you if you were trying to sneak up and capture that treasure. And that's the truth that the scripture talks about here. The truth always exposes the enemy. The truth always exposes sin. The truth always exposes falsehood. It always exposes deceit. It always exposes all acts of unrighteousness. That's what the truth does. And as believers, we are encouraged to allow the truth of God to expose the darkness that is within us. And as the light comes into our lives, it will cleanse us and change us. And actually, it will free us from the grip of unrighteousness. As Paul was writing to the Roman church, he also reminded them of this truth. And in Romans chapter 16, in verse 19, he says this, for your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf. And then he says this, but I want you to be wise in that which is good and simple, or actually the word actually means ignorant, concerning evil. Paul said to them, he says, I'd rather that you just didn't even understand, know about the things that are done in darkness, sin and unrighteousness. I don't even want you to know that, but I want you to just concentrate, be wise on what is good and ignorant concerning things that are evil. And so we're told to walk in light. So as we walk in light, light reveals the truth. Light exposes the darkness, but light also for us, it leads and it guides. Think back to the book of Psalm 119. And in Psalm 119, verse 105, it says this: "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." How can we keep from stumbling as we walk through this world? We have the light to guide our path. He's talking here about a lantern. He's not talking about a floodlight or a huge street light. He's talking about a lantern. And so he's saying, every day you need this light just ahead of your feet to help you to make that next step. You need this light in your life. The same psalm in verse 130, it says, "The entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." So we're told to walk in light. Walk in this truth. Walking, as we've gone through this study, walking is all about, as we began, we pointed out, it's about living in the presence of God. It's about living up to the name by which we've been called. If we call ourselves Christian, we're encouraged to live up to that name, that high calling that we have. Walking is about demonstrating truth, as we talked about, walking in love. Love is an action, right? Love acts. And then walking is all about living in full view of God and man. Who lurks in the shadows but a thief and a crook and a robber? That's who lurks in the shadows. He's saying, live in full view of God and man and walk in the light. And as he finishes this little portion here, he says this: "Therefore, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." Jesus will give you that light for your path each and every day. We don't need to live or to walk in darkness. Not one of us here needs to live or to walk in darkness. Because life has meaning and purpose far beyond what you may know today. Perhaps you're discouraged in your life. Perhaps you don't know what your purpose and meaning is. Walk in the light, and God will reveal that to you. If you expose yourself to light, expose yourself to truth, it will come clear and real to you. And of course, as we've just read, the entrance of your word, the word of God to us, gives us this light that we need. Jesus reminded his disciples and all who were listening, because as Jesus talked to his disciples, there were usually a lot more people around, kind of eavesdropping a little bit and listening to what he was saying. But he reminded his disciples that he was the light of the world. In John chapter 8, he says this: "Jesus spoke to them saying, 'I am the light of the world,' he says. 'He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life.'" You know, I'd rather walk in the light than walk in darkness, because it helps me know where I'm going. It helps me know what I should be doing. It helps me just follow the correct path. And I want to walk in light. And you can have this light today as you come by faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You can have this light in your life today as you trust him. And then as a believer, as you seek to walk in this light, he will guide you. He will give you this life's purpose. He will give you direction day by day, a direction that will lead you to righteousness, a direction that will lead you to purpose and joy and fulfillment in your life. Walk in light, we're encouraged to do. We have one more message in this series that we'll do next week, but I want us to just focus on these things. Walk, live in the presence of God, live up to our name, demonstrate truth, and live in full view of God and man as we walk in light. We're going to sing a piece as we finish. I'll ask the worship team to come back, and we'll sing a piece as we close today. And it's a reminder, just again, what Jesus told his disciples. He said, "I am the light of the world." And the song says, "The light of the world is Jesus." So we're going to sing this out. And if you recognize today that that there's darkness in your life, that you're walking in darkness, that you don't have the truth operating in your life, come to the Lord Jesus and he'll give you this light. And as a believer, perhaps there are areas in your life where you're not walking according to truth, according to light, and you want to do that, then determine, yes, Lord, I would like to walk in your light today. I want to walk in your truth. Let's stand together and sing this right out. If the Lord's speaking to you, then respond to him today on any of these things.